Will you please stand? Kneel with me in a word of prayer. Our righteous Father, we have come into your house and bowed the knee before thee, asking that thy spirit might be upon each one of us as we worship thee this day. And Father, we pray for him who will stand before us and break that bread of life that comes from thee. I pray that you would bless Rollin in his ministry as he stands before us and tells us those things which you have laid upon his heart. Father, I pray that we would be willing recipients of that word. Father, I pray for those that are not here, for those that are sick and afflicted, those that are aged and infirm, those that find it difficult to get out on a day like today. We pray for them and ask that your spirit would be upon them. We pray for those that have chosen not to be here, that have separated themselves from the body of Christ. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would cause their hearts to be softened and their minds to be attuned to thee, and that you would lead them back. Our Heavenly Father, I pray for those that stand in need in foreign lands. I pray that you might supply their needs. For those that are ministering unto them, I pray that you would watch over and protect them, keep them from any harm or danger that might befall their footsteps. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would be with the church and all of its needs. Father, bless this local. for we do love you, and we love to come into your house and worship you. And Father, we pray that you would feed us this day, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to have a couple of administrations at this time. Brother Frank, Brother Jeff.
Sands in great need this who has been brought before you, O Heavenly Father, by parents who have faith in you. They are asking on behalf of their new mother for blessing unmakeable. O Heavenly Father, recognize the faith of the parents. Recognize, O Heavenly Father, the faith that lies within me and my brother. Give this little one that blessing that she stands in need of. For Heavenly Father, their trust is in you. And they know, O Heavenly Father, that you are the deliverer of that. Full assurance that you have heard and answered this prayer. And we pray in Christ's name.
Our kind and all-wise Heavenly Father, dear Lord, at this time, we hold up before thee this thy creation. Dear Lord, we ask a special blessing for this thy daughter, that you will look down upon her and that you will see that which is amiss. Dear Lord, you know that. Faith of her parents. You know the strength they have in thee. We pray even now, holding her up, asking a mighty blessing even here. We ask this in Jesus' name. Gracious Heavenly Father, dear Lord, we come before thee again asking that you will see this thy child, that you will see into this young man and see that which is amiss even unto him now. Dear Lord, we pray a special blessing for him. Dear Lord, we know that we can come and lay our burdens at thy feet. We can lay our afflictions at thy feet, and dear Lord, we hold him up even now. Dear Lord, I pray a special blessing for him. Pray, dear Lord, that you will look down upon both of these children through all of their lives and through all of their activities, that you will continue to protect them. For we know life is a miracle. For we know that thou art in control and thou art their guide. Dear Lord, we pray and we ask in faith, believing, knowing that thou can change that which is amiss in his body, making him whole and making him complete even now. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, Heavenly Father, I would add my prayer to that of my brother. Praying, O Heavenly Father, that you would look with mercy upon him. That according to the faith that lies within, we we who are ministering unto them, faith of his parents, that this combined faith would come up before you as a sweet incense, that you would recognize this faith and bless this little one with a blessing of measure, that he may be whole and well before you. And we seal this blessing upon him in the holy name of Jesus Christ.
We're now going to have a special.
With shout of acclamation and take me home. What joy will fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Thank you, Jerry. I'd like to welcome you all here this morning, this snow day, to the Church of Christ, to hear our Father's Word preached by one of his servants. Brother Rollin needs no introduction. He's well known by everyone in the local. But I do ask for Rollin your prayers and your attention. Let's honor the Lord this morning by paying close attention to the sermon that's delivered. Apostle Rollin Surratt.
Thank you very much. Happy New Year. Yeah, I know I'm a little bit late. The New Year has already arrived. And there's already been some events that have been somewhat trying and unexpected. But, you know, I still wish you a happy year, happiness in this year. But, you know, I wish you more than that. I wish you happiness for the remainder of your life. I want you to be happy for the rest of your life as you live out your days, every one of you. And I wish you more than that. I wish you happiness throughout eternity. That's a big wish. I wish myself happiness throughout eternity. Now, I'm not talking just for myself, though, although I truly do wish you happiness. But I'm speaking also for the Lord, because he's wishing you happiness, too. He wants you to be happy. Why am I saying this? Because the Word of God says it. And as you might guess, that is the topic of my sermon, happiness. This may sound a little different from me, but for whatever reason, I felt impressed to speak about being happy. In Psalms 144:15. It says, happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. You are that people. God is the Lord. He is your Lord. And in Proverbs, it says, he that handleth a matter wisely shall find good. And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he. I believe that we all trust in the Lord. believe there's evidence that we all trust in the Lord. Are you happy? Are you happy with the results of trusting in the Lord? Do you know joy that is given of the Lord? You know, that's a big question. And I'm not asking you, I'm asking me too. Because everything I read in here points to me and my attitude and a need to correct my attitude. You know, Jesus said in John 13, I'm going to read verses 15 through 17 in John, the 13th chapter. For I've given you an example that ye should do as I have done to you. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither is he that is sent greater than he that sent him. And then he finishes up with this. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. If you know the commandments of Jesus Christ, given through him of God, if you know them and you have recognized the good example that Jesus Christ has set for us and has lived out his life for us, you can be happy if you do them. We can turn that around and say, well, what happens if you don't do them? You'll probably be unhappy. But the word happy sometimes is misused in the modern world. People seek happiness all the time. And they seek the things of the world to make them happy. They seek those things that would actually destroy their souls and therefore ultimately make them unhappy. They may think they're happy for a time, but they're only being fooled into thinking that they are happy when they indulge themselves in things that do not improve their spiritual lives or their moral behavior. It says, he that despises his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he. If you have mercy upon the poor, and I think that many have shown that characteristic of being merciful to the poor. In Proverbs 29:18, it says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Did you ever have a law that you really felt made you happy? Well, you sure you have. The law of God. If you obey the law of God and you know you're obeying it, aren't you happy? Don't you feel a happiness of something confirming you that you're doing what is right? You know, when you do a job on your employment and so forth, if you do a good job and you know you've done a good job, you feel some lifting up. You feel confidence. You feel that you have done what is right, and you feel accomplishment. Well, the Lord wants us to feel that accomplishment as well. He wants us to be assured that when we have set our course in doing his will and keeping his commandments, that we will fulfill it with the confidence that we can do it. But the vision is in the law of God and the gospel of Christ, the plan of salvation. There is the vision. If the people don't have vision, they're lost. They're running out here in a maze of the world. You and I are not lost. We've got our course charted out. We know exactly where we're going. And that place is eternity. eternal happiness. That place is eternal happiness. It's very simple. You know, there isn't anything complicated in all this. But man does complicate it occasionally. And sometimes I get confused and I have to have an attitude adjustment, which the Lord gladly gives me when from time to time. And, you know, then I see it and I recognize it. God is merciful. And he shows his mercy. Whether we are in absolute accord with him or if we have slipped off the path a little bit, he will be merciful. He will bring us back. Don't fear him. Don't fear that he will shove you away. That's the last thing he wants to do for you. But of course, if it's your choice, it will be the last thing that he will do. It will not be a pleasant experience if you do not measure up at the last day. You know, when Christ came, was born into this world, the angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." And who was he talking to? A bunch of lowly shepherds. They were not the elite ones of the religious groups at that time. But he says, "I bring you good tidings of great joy." Jesus Christ was born. The Savior of the world, the Savior of mankind was born. Was that not reason to have joy? Also, the angels sang together, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men." Peace. You know what peace is? Do you have a peace of mind? Are you settled within yourself? Do you find yourself having that special strength that you didn't know you had at a time of a trial or a situation that got out of hand? Have you found that? That inner peace, that's all part of the joy and the happiness. It's all one big package. But, you know, we have to exercise it. And that is what the Lord has brought to earth. Jesus Christ gave us that assurance, that inner peace. It is said that... Lehi said that Adam fell that men might be, and men are that they might have joy. They might have joy. They might not. Some may not. Some may throw it away and say, "I don't want it." They may reject their Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But you can have joy. And that is the purpose of our existence. That's the whole plan that the Lord made. And you can't sit down and take this apart and say, "Well, Lord, I don't think you did this right." You know, no. He did it right. Be assured that God made no mistakes. He did it right. So Adam fell, that men might be. And we are here so that we might have joy. Wonderful. Wonderful. You know, Nephi had a vision and he saw a tree. You remember that? And he beheld this tree and he says the fruit was desirable to make one happy. Now, how did he know that? He hadn't tasted it yet, but he says the fruit was desirable to make one happy. So he was attracted to that. So he went and he partook of the fruit. And he says it was the most sweet above all that I had ever tasted. And it was the most, therefore it was white to exceed all whiteness that I'd ever seen. And as I partook of the fruit thereof, it filled my soul with exceeding great joy. With exceeding great joy. I don't know whether I can say that I know what that is. I'm sure that I've had experiences that has given me exceeding great joy. But just to name that off, I don't know. Do you have? Have you felt that? That exceeding great joy. And he wanted his family to all have it. If you partook of that fruit, and I think we have, through being baptized and have the confirmation given to us, we have experienced a great joy that we want to share with all of our loved ones, our families, our children, our grandchildren. We want them to have that. We want our brothers and sisters to have it. We want our neighbors and friends to have it. We want people that we've never met clear across the waters to have it. That is the joy of the gospel of Christ in its fullness and in its purity. But you know, it takes something to stay focused and stay happy. We can let things of this world get us down, and surely they do. And I know that according to the whole plan of what we might call the cycle of experiences, we do find reason to sorrow. We do have anxious moments in our lives, and I'm not going to ignore those things. We are caused to be concerned about what the future holds for us. We are concerned when people mock us or ridicule what we believe is precious and good. We are concerned when we see publicly people downplaying the things that we know are precious to us and are valuable to our souls. We have that concern. And that does take away from our happiness for a time. But the Lord has his plan and his timetable and his way of doing things. And we have to get in sync with him in these things. And so what does he have to do to Rollins Surratt? Well, like I said a while ago, he has to give me a little attitude adjustment. He has to correct me. And so it is said, behold, happy is a man whom God correcteth. Therefore, despise not the chastening of the Almighty. Now, I am not going to even go close to that. I am not going to suppose this or that is a chastening or a correction, except with my own self. There I will say, yes, the Lord chastens me. And I appreciate it. That's all I can say. When Roland gets out of line, and a lot of times he does, he has to be corrected. Of course, he has a companion that helps a little bit too, but we all help each other, and that's part of life. Now, that is a part of happiness. That is a part of our joy. Is our own family lives. God has given us, most of us are married, and we have our companions, and we have joy in our relationship. We have happiness. We have a closeness that God has given to us. And we need to treasure those things. They're very special. And when we've let our own human ways get in the way of that, and we wander away from our companion in our thoughts and our desires, then we are hurting ourselves, and we are causing a great deal of problems within our own personal lives and in the life of our companion. So I think I need to say no more about that, but that is part of the joy of life. That's a part of our happiness. Another part of our happiness is our relationship with our children and our parents, our brothers and sisters, our grandchildren. I can see smiles and happiness right here in grandparents holding their grandchildren. It's a special love. It's a special happiness. It's God-given. And I marvel at it and I enjoy it. But the Lord says that there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. You know, I got to thinking about that scripture and pondering it a little bit. How can you go wrong if you have the host of the heavens rejoicing over you? How can you go wrong? Now, you might say, well, the world isn't treating me too good. But that don't count as much as the angels of heaven rejoicing when they saw you go down to the waters of baptism. That's marvelous. That's wonderful to know that you have a supportive group here working with you and helping you. James says that we count them happy which endure. You have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Endure. Well, that gives a different picture. Let me give you one example. I'm not going to turn it to it. Stephen. You remember what happened to Stephen? He ended up being stoned to death. Terrible. Terrible thing. But you know, he never lost his vision of heaven all during that time. It's a remarkable experience that the man was actually brutally killed with stones, and he never lost his vision of heaven. He knew where he was going. You know, that puts everything in a little bit different perspective, doesn't it? What was his state of mind when he was being stoned? Was he cursing these people? Was he angry at them? Was he saying, God, send down your vengeance upon them? No. He was in a state of happiness because he saw heaven. He saw where he was going. And it didn't make any difference what was happening to him in his physical body. So that gives us a perspective of things. What about your trials in your life? I know that you have grievous trials. We all do. But not as grievous as we could have, because we're not really persecuted all that much. But with what we have in the gospel of Christ and the assurance that we have through the Holy Spirit of God, we have reason to be happy. You know, I'm preaching this sermon, and I know what the Lord's going to do, probably. Anytime I get on some of these subjects like this, if it is a subject of patience, my patience is tried. So the Lord is going to try me and see if I'm going to be happy. You know. Well, he's right. He wants me to be able to know what I'm talking about. Now, I'm speaking from the Scriptures, and I'm impressed with what the Scriptures say, but I need a little experience, probably. I don't know. I'll leave it up to the Lord. Paul was writing to the Galatians, and he says, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Okay. Love. We know something about love because we love our companion, we love our children, we love our parents, we love our brothers and sisters. We love a lot of people. Maybe we love everybody. I hope we do. I mean, we probably are not, any of us, wanting any ill thing to happen to anybody else in this world. But we may not have as close a relationship with some people than we do with others. So we may have a degree of love there. But we are to even love our enemies. And, you know, that's a subject all its own. But along with love, which is the fruit of the Spirit, there's joy, there's peace, there's long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. What about those qualities of righteousness? If we have all those qualities of righteousness and we leave this life, we go into our next life, where are they going to be? They're going to be here, right here, with the person, with the Spirit. My Spirit, your Spirit, whoever departs this life. Those qualities will go with them. They're developed to be a permanent part of us. Now, we can be different than that. We can have other characteristics that we will regret we have. I know we all have weaknesses, but these qualities are the things that will go with us. You won't lose one ounce of love when you depart this life. It'll still be there. You will have that same joy. You will have that happiness that you had in this life. So we want to remember this. In Psalms it says, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Seek peace and pursue it. It's kind of saying it twice. You know, get peace. Well, that peace that you have will be the quality that will go with you out of this life. It'll be yours. But it has come by the grace of God. You always have to remember that. We always have to qualify it. It isn't something that originated in you, but it came as a result of obeying the gospel of Christ, the plan of salvation. You know, it speaks of a peace of conscience. If your conscience bothers you, that's a good thing. If you've got something wrong with your attitude or your mind, or if you've committed a sin or you've done something to somebody, if your conscience bothers you, that's good. That's what it's there for. Correct it. Get with it. Get the thing taken care of. It says, the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. There's so many beautiful scriptures when I started searching these things out. Here's one that's really my favorite that I run across. In Isaiah 54:13, it says, "All thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children." Now, I've taken that out of context, but I believe it says what it says. I believe it says that. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord. You're teaching your little children in Sunday school here. They're being taught of the Lord. They're being taught about the Lord. What will be the result of that? Peace. The children will know peace. That inner peace, that special peace that is given of God. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7 is a scripture that we use quite often in Christmas time. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. It says that there is no end to his peace. It is marvelous. In Mosiah, the 8th chapter, verses 51 and 52, this is on page 253 if you want to look that up. "And behold, I say unto you, this is not all. For how beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that is the founder of peace, yea, even the Lord who has redeemed his people, yea, him who has granted salvation unto his people." Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He is the founder of peace. How did he do that? How did he establish peace? He gave his life that mankind might repent of their sins and be redeemed. He gave us an atonement for our sins. That's how he brought peace. How do you know peace? Only in and through the blood of Christ can you have peace with yourself. True peace. The world gives you all kinds of peace and hope and things that you can be involved in, all kinds of religions, all kinds of teachings, doctrines. You just name it and it's out there somewhere. But Jesus Christ has given you, in his fullness of his gospel, the way in which you can have peace. Peace on earth. Oh, okay. Now, let's stay focused here, but I'm going to throw something in here, another scripture that may sound like it isn't true, just what I said. Jesus said, and this is Luke 12:51-52, "Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth? I tell you, nay, but rather division. For from henceforth there shall be five in one house divided, three against two and two against three." It's also recorded in Matthew that, "Think not that I'm come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." Yeah, that sword is division. Okay, I got to do a little explaining here. I don't know whether I'm going to do it right or not. But what is he talking about? Peace within the home. There can be a division. Part of the family goes this way, part of the family goes that way. The real truth is, that which is false and not true will not be compatible with that which is true. And there will never be peace between the two sides. There'll never be peace between them. So he is indeed. When he brought the fullness of the gospel to the Jews and to the people in this land, he did expect that there would be some conflict down the road somewhere, but especially over there among the Jews, because they had rejected Christ. Well, I'm not going to leave you there worrying about that. Jesus also said, peace, and he said this to his disciples, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. My peace, what is his peace? It's the means by which we are redeemed from our sins. That is the peace. If you are guilty of all your sins from the time that you started sinning, and you've never been redeemed, are you going to be happy in the hereafter? No, you can't be. Somewhere along the way, there has to be a redemption. So Jesus has the true key to give you peace. Without that, you cannot have peace. You cannot have the true peace that is promised. And Jesus sent him out. He sent his disciples out, and he says, and in whatsoever house ye enter, first say, peace be to this house. And if the Son of Peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall return to you again. And he says, if you come to a city, and the same way also, you will have to shake the dust off of your feet if they don't accept the gospel. But the peace returns to you. You are still confident in that which you have delivered to those people. It still is true. He also said, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The peace that that Jesus is talking about is that which you have found to be true and established in your heart and mind to be true, and you are confirmed in it. You cannot be shaken from that truth. If you ever give it up, if you ever turn it against it, then that which the Holy Ghost has given you will be taken from you, and you will be without hope. So be very careful with how you look upon these things. And don't consider your options as being, well, if I don't make it in this life, I'll get it in the life hereafter. I don't believe that. Not for you and I. Because we've made our choice. We have to fulfill our obligation to the Lord. We have to stay steadfast and keep focused upon things of heaven, just as Stephen did. And if we make mistakes, and we do make mistakes, I make mistakes, I do sin, I do err, I have to repent. I have to retain a remission of my sins if I expect to have that inner peace. If I expect to stay focused upon the things of heaven, I have to do that. And that is a plan of God. You know, you are a practiced veteran of doing good. And you will carry that goodness right into heaven with you. That's what he wants. He says, in Nephi, he says, Whoso shall publish peace, yea, tidings of great joy, how beautiful upon the mountains shall they be. Who is that? Publishing peace. Well, that's the ministry, the church. They're publishing peace. I'm trying to publish peace right now. How beautiful upon the mountains shall they be? They'll be up on the mountains in the nations of the world. And are we not there? Tidings of great joy. They're publishing peace. They're giving tidings of great joy. The continuation of what Jesus Christ began even from the time that he was a young boy. Beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. And that's where we are going. That's where we're headed right now, to Zion. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. They're going to be a little bit noisy. They will clap their hands for joy. Okay. Let's see the other side of it. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. The wicked will not have peace. The way of peace they know not, and there is no judgment in their goings. They have made them crooked paths. Whosoever goeth therein shall not know peace. Does it give you a pause to reflect upon the opportunity that you've had in embracing this gospel? Does it give you cause to think about how good God is to you personally? He picked you and I to be a part of this. God says, I form the light and create darkness. I make peace and create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. That's a puzzling scripture. Well, we know he brought light into the darkness of this world. Physical light, but also spiritual light. The physical being a type of the spiritual. And he brought light through Jesus Christ. And he makes peace. Peace, eternal peace. So these things I do. Well, I have to rush along here a little bit. There is a happiness which is prepared for the saints. We're told that in the scriptures. There's a happiness that is prepared. And we can be sidetracked by many things because some people think they're happy out there that are dealing treacherously. And the proud, they think they're happy, but we have to stay focused upon the way in which we retain happiness, and that is humbling ourselves before the Lord. We may suffer as a Christian, but we cannot be ashamed. We are to let ourselves glorify God even at a time of persecution. He that is happy shall be happy still, and he that is unhappy shall be unhappy still. I know I'm just taking it completely out of context. But it says that he that shall be filthy still. He that is righteous shall be righteous still. But here is our hope. Not only should we be righteous, but we should be happy. There is happiness which is affixed. But, you know, I look at that word affixed. It's established. It's permanent. It's not going to move. And over here is punishment. It's not going to move. It's our choice. Are we going to have happiness in eternal life, or are we going to be in punishment? There's another place that says that there's happiness which is affixed, and opposite of it is misery. It's not talking about misery, it's misery. That's what is affixed. And that's where we're going to have to make a choice. That's what we're working toward right now. You and I are doing our homework to have eternal life. Happiness in eternal life. It's a state of never-ending happiness. So when I wish you happiness, with all my heart, I'm wishing you happiness in eternal life. But I know you've got to have it in this life too. Cannot be restored from sin to happiness. That's what I found in the scriptures. Wickedness never was happiness. Now we all know that. But we have to deal with it. We have to deal with it because we're exposed to all kinds of wickedness. We're exposed to all kinds of sins. We are tempted by all kinds of sins and things that are contrary. We are subject to listen to the carnal man or the flesh. And it's difficult. It's difficult sometimes to work when you have to oppose your very own self. And sometimes that's the only enemy you've got. Sometimes that's the only major enemy you have, is your own human weaknesses, the will of the flesh. We cannot take happiness in sin. It just won't happen. So we need to be restored. Restored continually. We need to have that's the focus upon the true happiness of the Lord that He has provided for us. It is said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And uphold me with the free spirit. Some people talk about the free spirit, but they got another idea about it. What does it mean to have a free spirit? What does it mean to have freedom? You are free from your sins. That's what it means. Your sins have been taken from you. They're no longer there bothering you. That is freedom from sin. Now I'm speaking things that are difficult to say. And I really feel like I'm the last person that should be preaching this sermon. But nonetheless, I feel the need to say these things. Because we must seek that happiness that the Lord has preserved for us. It is said that these things belong unto God's people. This happiness, this joy belongs to us. It belongs to His people. It belongs to His people that are still to be converted. This joy of the gospel. This message of salvation. And so, I want to end with this particular verse. Psalm 67:4. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon the earth. The nations shall be glad and sing for joy because they have heard the gospel of Christ. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Rollin. I do have a few announcements. This evening at 6:30, Elder Robert Oldham will be the speaker of the hour. Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock is our midweek prayer service. And January 22nd, Monday, there's going to be a study class here at the East Local. Please remember those on our prayer list. And let's all stand and sing hymn number 386. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the privilege that we've had to come into Your house and worship You this morning. We're thankful, Heavenly Father, that Your Spirit's been here, that we have basked in the light of Your Spirit. For we know, Father, that only true happiness can come through Thee, only true peace can come through Thee. And we seek happiness and peace, Father. We desire to have them in our lives. We ask, Heavenly Father, that You might Forgive us individually of our sins and collectively. We ask you, Heavenly Father, that you would bless us this morning. Bless us as we go from here. Let us keep the thoughts of thee this day. And help us, Heavenly Father, that we, as we gather here again tonight, we would do so in your Son's name. Father, we desire that you would bless our brother Robert as he has prepared for the sermon this evening. But we pray that each one of us would have a desire to come and to hear your preached word. Now, Father, go with us to our several homes. Be with us until we can meet here again this evening. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.